Hi, Dancer. Jess here.
Welcome to the new and improved podcast from The Whole Dancer. I am so thrilled that you're here, and I hope to give you some insight and inspiration when it comes to finding a more balanced approach to food, your body, dance, and life. Really covering all those bases of what can help you feel whole as you pursue dance. Now, I would love for you to subscribe to the podcast so that you get an alert every single time there's a new episode, and leave a review so that your friends will be more likely to find The Whole Dancer too. Thanks for being here.
Let's get started.
Hi, dancers. Jess here. Welcome back. Let's talk about balance in ballet and dance, because I use that word a lot, and so I think it's going to be useful and valuable for you all to have some good context about what it can truly mean to be balanced in your dance pursuits. I also think this is important to talk about because I think a lot of the narrative in the dance world is still that extremes are required in order to achieve your goals, and it's just false. You do need to be dedicated and committed and show up to class whenever you are healthy and ready to do so. And, you know, like daily classes. Yeah, you shouldn't be skipping out or half-assing it or anything like that. I wonder if I have to make this over 18 episode. I think I already make it over 18, but having used that word, I apologize if anyone does not enjoy those words, it just kind of came out. But anyway, if you're giving half effort, it is surely, yes, you need to give your full effort in order to achieve your goals in dance. However, there is a balance that we can achieve. And I think that very often the narrative makes us feel like, oh no, if I want to do this, if I want to dance at a professional level, if I want to hit the next phase or stage in my career, I've got to go 150%, 7 days a week, no breaks, no time off, more classes are better, more privates, more competitions, more intensives, no time off in summer, right? Like all of that. The food choices, sometimes this unbalanced mentality really does easily spill over into food choices for dancers, wherein you might say to yourself, no, to achieve my dance goals, I can't be eating the way other people are eating. My food choices have to be more limited or restricted. And, you know, that's very much a mentality that I was in myself. I literally remember having conversations with one of my best dance friends in college about how, you know, she and I, with the body types that we had, being dancers with bigger thighs and actual butts, with our body type, we couldn't eat the way other people could eat. You know, like we had friends who maybe could eat more, but that just wasn't an option for us. If we wanted to succeed in ballet, it was going to require limited or restricted eating. And, you know, all that really leads to is feeling miserable and being really hungry and having no energy and losing strength and getting injured and misery, agony, sadness, all kinds of bad things. So there is a balance with food that can exist for you as a dancer, even as you are working towards your dance goals. So let's talk a bit about what the balance might look like. Balance with food. This is about making sure that you are prioritizing nutrient-dense food, because these are the foods, you know, fruits, vegetables, whole foods. These are the foods that promote health, promote restoration of your body's needs, that maintain your immune system, that allow your body to recover from all of the work and time in the studio, you know, that keep you healthy. And it is super important to make sure that you're prioritizing foods with high nutrient density as much as you can. However, the balance here comes in where if all we consume are quote unquote health promoting foods, and we tell ourselves, I cannot eat a cookie, I cannot eat a piece of cake,
those things are for non-dancers. Those are not things that are acceptable for me to eat. Well, that creates a mentality of restriction that can lead to under-eating those foods and then potentially binge eating those foods. That just leads to a mindset that is really not sustainable, that does not ever prioritize, you know, your joy, and that ultimately takes you off the path that you're working towards, right? You want to achieve your goals. You want to feel happy and healthy and balanced. And when we have extreme rules about food, or we get to a point where we are limiting ourselves to only health-promoting foods, well, then you can get into disordered eating territory with orthorexia, which is an eating disorder wherein you are focused on only eating foods with which you have deemed healthy or good, you know, and you're avoiding all other things. And that is a more recent addition to mental health diagnoses in the eating disorder spectrum. But it is a very real thing and can cause lots of harm and is very unbalanced. So balance with food has to include prioritizing health-promoting foods, but also allowing foods that are mostly for fun, that are providing you with caloric density that you need to get through your day, that are joyful and celebratory and enjoyable, and, you know, things that are maybe considered treats, right? But they have to be included. And the degree to which you include them is going to be based on your personal desire and what actually feels balanced for you and what feels good for your body. We don't want to get disconnected from that. You know, I think that sometimes we go one direction or another, and dancers, I believe, are very good at convincing ourselves that, oh, I don't need those foods so much, or I can eat cake like once a month and that's enough for me. And you know what? Like, maybe it is, but personally, that's not balanced for me. And I don't find that to be a picture of balance for most of my clients. In most cases, it's including those foods that are more about joy and more about caloric density in a more frequent pattern. And that will allow you to feel truly balanced and like you're getting all the things and enjoying food and getting all the things that you need. I also like to always throw in that your quote unquote health promoting foods and meals should also taste really good. So eating healthfully and eating nutrient dense foods should never look like, you know, steamed, bland, unflavored, just like forcing yourself through a meal, because I also don't think that that's balanced, right? The balanced approach is the one where you're loving the meal and it tastes so good and it's nutrient dense and health promoting. These things can and should coexist, and if they don't, that's a problem. Balance with school and dance, or school and or life and dance if you're out of school or not currently in school. That is, oh, a big thing. What I see sometimes are dancers going to school. Let's say we're high school dancers. However, this is kind of true, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, in college dance programs as well. I went to Butler University, and we had a very full load when you considered our academic classes and our school classes. And, you know, it's relatively outside of your control what you have to do for school and then what your dance school might be asking of you in terms of dedication and hours. But this is where, you know, our personal needs and personal balance is another thing to just really look at. And for parents, I recently had this conversation with Jason Pickett, who is an amazing voice and advocate in the competitive dance world. But we recently had this conversation about what is the balance of school and dance for kids, and like, what can parents do to make sure that their children are staying balanced? But if you're at school from 8, let's say, till 3 or 3:30. Then you're at dance from 4 until 8 or 8:30. And then you go home and you have to eat dinner and you have 2 hours of homework and you have to shower and then you have to go to bed and wake up and do it all over again the next day, and you're dancing 5, 6, 7 days a week. I don't believe that's balanced. And I know it exists a lot. And I know that it's the way a lot of things are set up for people. But I think that the dancers themselves, along with their parents, really need to advocate for creating a more balanced situation so that dancers don't get burnt out or end up in survival mode, which I'll talk a bit more about later. But you've got to just be really aware. And if your kid, or if you're the dancer and you're in your high school years, or let's say even in college, and you have all these classes, academic and dance classes, and you're not able to get 8 or 9 or even 10 hours of sleep, because that's how much student athletes need, and that's how much athletes in general need. So even once you're out of your teens, but in your, say, 20s and 30s, if you're dancing many, many hours a day, you probably still need 8, 9, 10 hours of sleep. You know, the whole, like, I think sometimes a lot of people will tell me, oh, 8 hours of sleep, right? Or some people will be like, right, it's like 6 to 8 hours of sleep. That's what people need, right? Well, no. I mean, if you're working at a desk job 9 to 5, you maybe can get away with 6, 7, or 8 hours of sleep. But if you are super active and dancing for hours upon hours a day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, you need to sleep much more than that in order to actually get through and not just survive, but thrive and feel truly balanced. So something's got to give. And, you know, dance medicine also recommends these days that dancers, teenage dancers, should be dancing the number of hours a week of years of age. So if you're a 15-year-old dancer, you shouldn't be dancing more than 15 hours a week. If you're 16, that's 16 hours, and so on. So, you know, if your dancer is at school 8 to 3 Monday through Friday and then is dancing 25 hours the week during the week, that's too much, and something should change. And like I said, advocating might mean saying to the studio owner, hey, I mean, you could say to them, hey, do you know that dance medicine currently recommends this much dancing for this age? Why do we have so many more classes? And it's a good question. It's something to ask. And then it's also something to see what can be adjusted for your dancer so that they can maintain balance. And, like, you know, maybe we're wondering, why is this so important? Well, if you have a young dancer who aspires to dance professionally, they're going to burn out before they get there. And those first professional years, I would say the first 2 to 4 professional years, you are working to show that you are capable and you have what it takes. And it's very stressful and it feels very high stakes. And it is those performances and the way you show up in those situations that will determine whether or not you'll get a job. And if you show up already burnt out, you are not going to be able to give your all and show what you're capable of and to advance and to improve in those early years, which is, you know, that's what artistic directors want to see. They want to see you growing as a technician and as an artist. So it's really important, especially if you are a dancer or you have a dancer who is working towards that professional career, that they don't burn out before they even get there. The non-school balance, you know, those of you who are not in school or are out of school, is about having a life that supports your dancing. So it's being very aware of if you are overexerting yourself or you're getting up at 4:30 in the morning to go to the gym and then you have class and rehearsals from 9:30 till 5:30 and then you might have another job after that, or you're just like not giving yourself the time afterwards to rest and relax and recharge. It is, again, a very quick path to dissatisfaction in the career or a loss of love for the dance, and just exhaustion and burnout as well. Some important things to consider if you want to create a balanced life but you're not sure where to start. I talk about this a lot on the blog, and I'm sure I've talked about it on the podcast. So if you've been listening for a while, you've heard these things from me numerous times. But one of my favorite health coaching concepts is the idea that we have primary food and secondary food. And our secondary food is the food we actually eat. That is secondary to your primary food, which includes career, relationships, physical activity, and spirituality. And now, you know, for dancers, there might be some overlap between career and physical activity, because if you're dancing professionally and And that's your physical activity as well, right? Like those pieces may be sort of taken care of one in the same. But then relationships and spirituality are aspects of life to look at and ask yourself, do I need to put more attention here? Am I cultivating strong and supportive relationships? Am I creating and practicing a spiritual path that feels good and resonates with me? And I always say, you know, this does not have to be some organized religion to be spiritual. It may be for you to connect with nature. It may be to have moments of calm and stillness. It may be to practice meditation. But the idea of connecting to something bigger than yourself is a really valuable asset in creating a balanced and happy and healthy life. So think about that. And just, you know, if you're someone who considers yourself agnostic or atheist, think about it and consider what you might connect with that is something outside of yourself. It helps us to have faith and hope and belief that we are not just like floating around alone here. And there's a lot of power in that. So something to consider. Know that what feels balanced for you is going to change over time. The things and the life and the practices that feel balanced when you're 15 or 16 are going to be very different when you're 25 and different when you're 35 and 45 and so on. As your life goes on, balance changes. So you have to be willing and ready to assess and consider and step back and make adjustments. And that's one of the powerful things about coaching is that sometimes when, or many times arguably, when we are in the day-to-day of our lives and just like going about all the things, we can start to feel exhausted or overextend ourselves without really being able to identify what it is that is getting us there. And in coaching, I ask a lot of questions about how you're living your life and how you're approaching things. And from there, we make some subtle and some less subtle adjustments to the approach in order to better support you. And it's just honestly the kind of thing that we can't always see when we're in it ourselves, which is why even I myself work with a therapist and a coach. And I have clients who have a therapist and a nutritionist and work with me as their health, nutrition, and lifestyle coach. Oftentimes, my piece is to really help with very dance-specific things, obviously, because there are fewer nutritionists and therapists with any dance background or experience. So keep that in mind if you're struggling to think or see what may be out of balance for you. When things are out of balance, you may be in survival mode and you may be feeling burnt out. Or it may not be that extreme. It may just be that you feel busy all the time, you don't feel super rested, you're questioning whether you're able to do your best dancing in your current state, you're struggling to eat your meals consistently or to feel yourself consistently, your body image is feeling more negative and more stressed, right? Like anytime we're in a stressed state, all of these things can get very easily out of whack and out of balance. So those are all things to just look at and say, wow, like, I am not feeling great in a number of areas. What could it be? What are the things that I can shift? If it's missing balance, if you feel like after listening to this episode, you're like, I don't know, like I'm doing okay, but I feel like I could be doing better, or you're very clearly in the camp of feeling like you're not doing so great and support would help, this is your invitation, my friends. I would love to connect with you for a coaching consultation. It is no obligation to sign up. It's just an exploration for you to talk with me and we'll discuss what you're going through. And I will be very honest about whether or not I can help you. I'm never going to try to convince someone that they should work with me. It's either a very clear yes, or a clear like, no, maybe this is not the right fit, or maybe I'm not what you need. And in that case, I will steer you in a different direction. But set up the call. Don't let the fear of vulnerability hold you back. I've heard it all. I've been through it all. It is truly a zero judgment zone. And, you know, I want you to thrive. I do this work because I had such a hard time myself. And I want to see dancers have an amazing time because you are truly pursuing what should be a dream. And I want you to feel that and experience that and know how to maintain that for yourself, which is what we would do if we work together. So thank you all for tuning in again today. And I would love to connect with you on a coaching consultation. I will put the link to book a call down in the show notes. If you ever want to get in touch and ask any questions about an episode or about coaching or consultations, send me an email, jess@theholedancer.com. I'll link that in the show notes as well. Until next time, have a balanced week. Talk to you soon.